Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Hey, thanks for coming back and watching another episode of the Video Nasty Project. We've got a treat for you tonight. A movie that is called Dawn of the Mummy, where the mummy rises and kills, and rises and kills, and rises and kills. Watch the trailer.
Egypt, land of the pyramids, a nice place to visit.
Now I'm going to be clear sailing all the way.
But would you want to die there? Dawn of the Mummy. Sapiramun, ancient pharaoh of Egypt, has slept for 3,000 years.
A mummy. Undiscovered tomb.
Only now to be awakened by invaders searching for his forbidden treasure. Dawn of the Mummy. What terror have these young Americans brought upon themselves? How will they escape the Pharaoh's deadly wrath? His armies rising from beneath the ageless sands to avenge their master's honor.
Help me, please! Help me!
No one is safe. Nothing can stop him. There is nowhere to hide. They just keep coming. Armies of the living dead, thirsting for blood. They are everywhere, and their quest for vengeance knows no limits. Try to stop them.
No!
But you can't escape from the Dawn of the Mummy.
Alrighty. We just got done seeing the trailer for Dawn of the Mummy, which a movie that only, as far as I know, only has one English title.
In my poking about, I didn't see any references to it getting named differently in its different releases, no.
The movie opens with a credit that, if you're an anime fan, you will say, oh my god, I know those people, because it's... You'll know Harmony Gold, you'll know the director, you'll know... If you watch cartoons in the 80s, you'll know Shuki Levy, because he did He-Man, he did She-Ra, he did Rainbow Bright, he did a whole bunch of cartoons.
Plus Frank Agrama. Opened the U.S. branch of the Chinese Harmony Gold, who were like the Joseph Tang and Thomas Tang and Joseph Lai and Godfrey Ho of the urban gritty Chopsocky movies that ended up on Black Belt and what was that, Kung Fu Theater.
So the movie starts out 3,000 years ago, give or take. And you have these people in the worst costumes ever, because they look like they just went to Value Village and just picked up Halloween Egyptian costumes.
Well, let me point something out. It was shot in Egypt.
They used
contemporary clothing. Yeah. That was literally modern-day dress for Egypt.
It must have been an Egyptian Value Village since
since
Farouk, Frank Agrama, is Egyptian. And everything that he got, he basically just said, okay, we're going to shoot this in Egypt and New York, and yeah.
Yeah, no, the movie has production quality behind it, because beat shooting in Egypt, you get the pyramids in the background, you get vast expanses of dunes, you get oases with palm trees, you get stuff that you're generally not going to get with your Andy Milligans and your Herschel Gordon Lewis's.
It's very clearly evident that there was some money involved, because throughout the movie you see instances where there's crowd scenes. Big crowd scenes. They didn't just bring in a dozen people and shoot it from 15 different angles. They brought in 100 people.
So the movie opens with these peasants in the fields tending to their dunes. And then all of a sudden, one dude starts running up and says, "Silly man, silly man, silly man is coming." And apparently Pharaoh Silly Man and his army of two dudes are on a slave raid. And then the movie cuts to Silly Man is dead.
Mummification is in progress.
And there's absolutely no jump to what the hell's going on. There's no progression of time. It's just an attack, and then he's dead. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay, we saw him do this raid. Okay, how did he die? Could have shot a scene of how he died. That there was somebody who was out to get him because they didn't like who he was.
Except we get a whole bunch of exposition when the priestess, basically the crazy Ralph of the story, is going through the tomb and brings in the servants, and they're bringing in the cannabis jars and they're putting him in the coffin. And she's going on about, "I am putting a curse on this tomb. Whoever defiles this tomb, you shall rise and kill. And your servants will rise and kill. And then on the dawn of the mummy, you and your army will go forth and kill and rise and kill." She says that like 80 times. And so his army of 8 or so minions go over and they put their heads on his coffin, and she sprays them with this red mist.
Yeah, craziness. Surround it. You're going to die here, and then blah.
Cut to an explosion. And again, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why is this happening? What's going on?
Well, clearly it's a passage of time. Yeah. It's one of these expository things where you get exactly what's going to happen in the very next shot.
Right, but you can't screen wipe. You can't give me some sort of... It's very jarring.
Yeah, well, that's the style, though. I mean, there are a lot of movies that do that. They say this thing, and then immediately right after this, that very thing happens, and then you get the zoom out, and there's a bunch of people doing something stupid, and they get it.
And so the explosion is in the modern day, like you said, where you have blonde dye job and his two minions. And they're like, "We found a treasure. We found a tomb. We're going to be billionaires."
They just cut from these guys doing some setup. And then they go to New York, and you talk about jarring. When the whole New York thing was ended, and they went back to the tomb, it was almost like no time had passed. I knew it had, but it felt like they were doing the same thing for like an entire day or two.
The New York scene is so weird because we get no exposition, we're not introduced to the characters, we're not introduced to the stars of the movie, the heroes of the movie, these four or so supermodels, and the photographers and their agents and stuff. So we cut to this girl doing this roller skating shoot while the photographers are on the ground snapping pictures. And then it cuts to a plane where we get this terrible voiceover saying, "Yes, yes, we'll be in Cairo in the morning." Cut to the guys at the tomb.
And they find the pharaoh's sarcophagus and no sign of his minions who have sunk into the ground, apparently, after death.
Yeah, they're not there at all. They actually come rising up out of the ground outside of the tomb later.
And they're covering like 3 inches of sand. Wouldn't somebody have noticed that there's these corpses here, you know, over the next 3,000 years?
I guess it's magic. I guess it was magic red mist. It turned them into, you know, magic red mist zombies.
We then get back to our supermodels in this Jeep. There's two Jeeps and like 4 people in them. And we've got the hard-ass lead photographer who wants the shot at any cost. There's the photographer who only wants weed, and that's his only defining characteristic. There's the black chick, and then the models, which are completely interchangeable.
You're skipping one person. There's a male model. He's the guy who's in the tuxedo later.
Oh, right. I forgot about him.
I was calling him James Bond in my head.
So one of the Jeeps has a flat. It just blows out. And so they go over the side of the road, and they all decide they're going to have to fix it. And the women get out and start jacking the Jeep while Bames John goes over and sits on a rock, Mr. Macho, with the barrel chest, because he's a fucking diva, and he can't get his precious little hands, you know, dirty. So the blonde supermodel with the long Farrah hair says, come on, come with me, let's go up the top of this hill.
And they start wrestling, and she falls down and rolls over onto this severed head in the middle of the desert.
Apparently, severed head and blonde woman equals blonde woman who can't get up and run away. All she can do is hysterically back away and scream, and then it becomes the paternalistic, stop shaking, stop shaking, oh my God, stop screaming, you know, you gotta get up, and she can't get up because she's legless.
And that's when the incompetent tomb rudders up at the tomb, one of them sees the supermodels and takes a shot or two at them. And Dye Job comes running out. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Why are you shooting at them? It's like, they're here for our gold. They're here for our gold. It's like, no, they're just tourists, you dummy. Now they know that we're up to no good.
But he can't do anything because the governor of Egypt has given the shoot crew a carte blanche as to where to shoot this thing for whatever reason. Maybe it's for tourism or to get more attention for Egypt for future tourist, you know, shit.
And then the head photographer, he's all like, wait a second, what's this? It's a cave, and I'm going to go up there and find out what's in the cave. Disregarding the fact that, A, he's just been shot at by strangers, B, there's a severed head just over there.
So these idiots just walk in there like it's a walk in the fucking park on a Sunday. Oh, look at this! Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, look at these sarcophagus! Oh, there's a mummy in here! And I'm thinking to myself, these are like kids in the fucking candy shop. If I'd been Mr. Blonde Eye Job, I would have gone in there and kicked all their asses out and said, fuck off! And pretended like we own this shit and put up some signage or something.
Or, you know, you've got guns.
Yeah, they've got a rifle.
Kill the photographers and the models.
Nobody knows.
And so the photographer thinks this is going to be an amazing shoot and sees the mummy. It's like, oh my God, this is a mummy. This is going to make my career. We're going to be famous. This is going to be on the cover of Life and Time and all this other nonsense. Go get the gear. And so they all run back down to the Jeep, grab the gear, and come up and start having this photo shoot in the tomb with a corpse. That's not fucking weird, is it?
Oh, and add to the fact they have plug-in, they have battery-powered lights, these big-ass halogens, and guess what that does to the mummy? It starts making all the flesh start to decompose a little faster and heat up, and all this fluid comes bubbling to the surface, soaking the cloth in basically body fluids, which means this thing is starting to stir. It was probably fucking as cold as ice in that tomb, considering it had been sealed off from the outside world for eons. And now they come in here with these lights and heat the shit up, which means this thing is basically defrosting.
No, it's not going to be the dynamite that, blowing up the entrance that's going to activate the mummy. It's not them running around smashing artifacts and defiling the tomb that's going to activate the mummy. No, it's the supermodels draping themselves all over the place and turning on the temperature. That's what's going to activate the mummy. Fuck this movie.
Actually, there is a mysterious kill. It's kind of pre-mummy, I guess. The idiot who got spooked earlier in the movie, and it was the same guy that shot at the models and everything. He goes into the tomb. Basically, he guards it while the other two are away. So then he goes and cuts the wrap around the mummy and finds gold! He finds the scepter or whatever, the curve that looks like one of those sheep herder hooks. He finds the two pieces of this thing. Then a huge fucking stone door opens behind him, and he goes further in. But he's standing under the fucking door like an idiot, and it comes down on his head, knocks him cold, and then crushes him to death.
No, it doesn't even do that. It just kind of drifts down, stops right above his chest, and then rises back up. And somebody drags him out from under the door.
And thing this bloody smut on the floor.
So we don't even get the bloody smear. It wasn't the door that killed him. It was somebody drug him off into the other chamber. And so that's how the movie then plays out from this point, where you've got stupid supermodels running around taking photos in this tomb. You have weird, mysterious goings-on that may or may not be a mummy, or may or may not be Crazy Ralph. And then the mummy sits up and like, oh yes, it's showtime, it's on! And the hands start coming up out of the sand, and I'm thinking, okay, finally, the payoff is coming. No, it doesn't get a payoff for another half an hour. So, and that's pretty much the climax of the movie, is the attack on the village in the town. And they have been going back and forth through town occasionally. The guy who wants to smoke weed desperately goes into town and, like, hooks up with a dude with a hookah and, like, just gets reefed out of his mind. Gets invited to a wedding. Hey, you know, you've been a great customer. Come to my wedding. And he goes to the wedding, and all of a sudden, the mummies start attacking.
Big problem with this scene. Big problem. Okay, so the bride is in the other room.
Right.
Sectioned off with just a curtain.
Because you don't want to see the bride before the wedding, I guess.
Right. And there's all this activity. It's like, oh, time for the bride. Go over, open the curtain. She's flat out on the table with a horde of mummies around her. Noshing away like it's a freaking buffet. We heard no screaming. We heard... What? How the hell did they kill her without her making any noise when the only thing separating
was a beaded curtain
from the rest of the wedding party is a goddamn curtain?
And it's at this point in the movie where a hero starts to emerge. Two of the supermodels lure Silly Man into this building shack thing where they were like storing dynamite and stuff. And so they lure Silly Man into the hut, and they start throwing Molotov cocktails, and one of them like lights dynamite and throws it, and they run away, and the building explodes. Kaboom! And mummy dead. Until they're off at the other end of the street, and they're all like, yay, we killed the mummy. Hooray, hooray, hooray. And all of a sudden, the mummy's hand explodes up out of the rubble. Cut to freeze frame. The end, ? Fuck you, movie.
But it does have some really great music in there. I mean, the score in this section reminded me of two separate... part of it reminded me of the opening titles to Massacre University, and then the rest of the music reminded me of some of the generic 80s music that came out, a lot of heavy synth, and a lot of it reminded me of a track by Kraftwerk, Metropolis. It sounded almost exactly like that. I'm thinking to myself, oh god, boy, these guys are channeling some shit.
I would support your idea that this is very generic, because this very much all throughout sounded exactly like this should belong to Power Rangers because of Shuki Levy.
I did like it at the end. I was thinking, you know, if this could have been a track by Berlin, like Sex Ima, you know, that's just very, you know, it's got the drum beat, the drum machine or whatever. Very cheaply done.
Shall I get into my one big problem that I have with the movie?
Yes.
I abso-fucking-lutely hate all the characters to the last man. They're all completely interchangeable. They don't have names that I could tell. They have one personal defining trait, and that's it. I hate them all. None of them are likable. There's no heroes in the bunch. And they're dumb as a sack of hammers. Now, in a horror movie, when you have them say, oh, hey, the fuse has gone out, let's go down to the basement, or let's break up, or let's separate, that's a trope I can live with. These guys were an event horizon of stupidity, so dense that light could not escape them.
There's little bits of personality between the characters that shows that there's a character with some strength that would be okay. Here's a possibility for somebody who's going to be a leader. He spends the entire film stoned, vanishes after the wedding scene is disrupted, and why isn't he the character who shows up with the two, who shows up to lead the two girls away? Why introduce a completely unknown character, porn stash as you called him?
Oh yeah, the fat guy who just shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, the Egyptian.
The Egyptian
He's
guy.
He's an Egyptian guy. Ones, he turns up after the guy with the shotgun.
And then just disappears. He delivers some exposition and then vanishes. I'm like,
There's a good example of what I'm talking about by half-completed thoughts. I have an idea. We'll do this. And then not go anywhere. It's kind of like Monty Python. The whole reason why in Monty Python the animated sequences came up, it's because they wouldn't complete jokes. They take a joke to the point where there's supposed to be a punchline. They won't have a punchline, and an animated sequence kicks in. But that's what I'm getting at by half-completed thoughts. I have a really good idea. Da 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 da. Anyone have it? No. We'll just shoot the next scene.
But with Mighty Python, that's smart, clever, intelligent writing. This, not smart, not intelligent, not clever.
I was like, with all of the money spent for all of the people that were utilized in the making of this film, in front of the camera, why wasn't there someone, the continuity girl, the script girl, why wasn't there somebody there to go, excuse me, you need to complete this. You started a sentence and you just stopped and left it hanging.
The connective tissue between the three scenes at the pre-credit stuff 3,000 years ago would have been ideal. Somebody, the continuity girl, would be like, this makes no fucking sense. Fix this. Add something in there.
It's almost like the movie may have been shot at two different times. The bulk of the footage was shot at one point, and then they went, oh, we need this. And they went back a month later and shot the rest.
You know, if this was more low rent, like, say, Don't Go in the Woods Alone, which was shot on a whole bunch of different weekends, or something like Unhinged, where it was a bunch of weekend shoots.
Yeah, and those movies are all shot on ends.
Yeah.
So they only had limited footage, but they took the time to at least get some of the shots done right on the first take.
This one had money behind it. It has no excuse, like Don't Go in the Woods and Unhinged.
Yeah.
All right. It is what it is. Watch if you're a completist.
If you want to see the guy who is, and he's still behind it, there's stuff in production right now for anime. New production anime. This guy is, I mean, this guy pulled off a lot. If you want to see what other flavor he's played with or cooked, watch the movie.
This movie will give you an all new layer of hate for Harmony Gold, because that company is fucking evil. So, Ian, would you let the shopkeeper keep Dawn of the Mummy, or would you seize it?
I'd let him keep it. It's not... So many of the shots are so shot in the dark that your imagination does more of the frightening than what's actually on screen.
Would you let them keep it, or would you let
him... Oh, yeah. No, this isn't worthy of seizure. I mean, it's got some sick shit in it. It's got a lot of evisceration and throat tearing and shit like that. But it's of the type of your Friday the 13th level of gore, not, you know, Cannibal Holocaust. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not really any more bloody than, like, your average Hammer horror flick. There's the one kill where the lady gets strangled by the mummy. That's blood-free. The dude getting bonked on the head by the door. That's blood-free. So the worst that happens is you get the intestine tearing that they got from the butchers.
Hammer Horror did it worse. I can think of Hammer Horror films that were just... And brightly lit, bright, vivid color. And this is dark, subdued lighting with... Is there blood? I see a black, dark liquid, but I don't see blood. So, yeah...
All right, so we give it a pass because there ain't shit here that's offensive or gory. Mm-hmm. Ashley, did you like Dawn of the Mummy?
I liked it. I didn't like it at first. I thought it started off rather tame and weak.
All right, defend that thesis. Why did you like it?
Because it gives me everything I want right away, more or less, in the kind of movie this is. It's a fucking mummy movie. People getting torn apart. So I get mummies. I get blood. I get curses. I get people getting ripped up, doors coming down on people. I get the interior with the badly done staged sarcophagus and tomb setting. I get grave robbing and stuff like that. I get all that shit.
But if you go and you watch a Universal... mummy movie, or if you go watch a Hammer mummy movie, there's a constant, okay, it opens with, you know, Karloff grabbing the scroll and dragging it off, and then the dude seeing and freaking out. You get mummy straight away. Here, it's 45 minutes before any mummy arises.
Like, here, he's just putting all his cards on the table. It's like, okay, we got this. I'm Egyptian. I got fucking pyramids. I got Egyptians. I got palm trees. And I got dunes and shit. I'm going to make a mummy movie.
All right. You're weird. Did you like it?
No. And it's not because it's a bad story. It is a good story. My problem with it is that it's, you get the full plot exposition of what is going to happen in the movie, which is just over 90 minutes long in the first few minutes of the film, and then you sit for 35, 40 minutes before anything happens.
And it wouldn't be so bad if the characters were likable or at least, you know, more than one dimension.
I will support part of what the point of view Ashley has is that the guy isn't some hack. This isn't Roger Corman. This isn't Herschel Gordon Lewis. This isn't somebody who's just like, I got no budget, one cut, move to the next scene. The guy demonstrates that he knows how to make a film. He's got good, he picks a good location. It's a story set in Egypt. He shot it in Egypt.
To be completely fair, that last 15 minutes in the village, that was pretty fun.
If that's why I'm saying it as it progresses, you're captivated in the end with a lot of cliche.
If the entire movie had been the last 15 minutes, I would have been so fucking on board with this flick.
The story is tough to sustain. He had to pad it out.
You can't keep that level of crazy up for the entire runtime, unless you're like Fulci or somebody like that. All right, well, so no, yes. There you go.
Oh boy, Banner Orange.
Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed that. I know I did. Please like, subscribe, click the bell, whatever you like to do there. Thumbs up, thumbs down. If it is a thumbs down, give us a comment as to why it's a thumbs down.
Or you can just fuck right off.
What he said. Next week, we are going to be watching Dead Kids. Also known as Strange Behavior, filmed in New Zealand, set in the United States. It's got a really good cast. Until next time, stay evil.